It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
This is a study about the tribulation period we read of in the Bible. My perspective of the tribulation is based upon the Word of God. If you hear me reading from the Bible a certain passage, and that passage doesn't match what your Bible says, then you are not using the Bible I use. I use the King James Bible. I believe the King James Bible is the inspired Word of God. Each subject and lesson I teach is based upon the Word of God. As we study, we find that the tribulation period will be a time of deception and despair. We will also find that within the pages of the Bible that during the 7 years of tribulation, God is still willing to receive those who are willing to receive the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, as Savior. May the Lord guide and direct us as we look into His Word. Join with me now as we study Lesson 9 of the Tribulation. In our last study concerning the tribulation period, we saw two witnesses. I believe these two witnesses come on the scene at the beginning of the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. Now, I believe that the two witnesses, well, first is Elijah. Malachi 4:5 says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Now, this great and dreadful day of the Lord, I believe, is the last half of the tribulation, which includes Christ's return to earth to exact His judgment upon those who oppose Him. So to me, the two witnesses come in the first half of the tribulation, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, Malachi 4:5. Now in Jude, verse 14, I believe that we read of Enoch, who I believe will be the second witness. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints." As we are told in Jude, Enoch prophesied of the coming of the Lord with His saints. I believe this will be part of the message he preaches during the, his time on earth as one of the witnesses in the tribulation. And he, of course, preaches of the second coming of the Lord, who comes with His saints in the beginning of the millennium. Now, Jude verse 15 says this, "to execute judgment," and this is Enoch speaking now. This is what he preached, "to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them." Well, I believe that once again, Elijah and Enoch will be those two witnesses. Well, how do they leave? Now, of course, we know by reading Revelation chapter 11 that these witnesses are killed. The beast kills them. And then they leave, of course, because after their bodies lie in the street, the two witnesses are brought back to life by God and ascend to heaven. Revelation 11, verses 11 and 12. "And after 3.5 days, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them." Now don't get confused here by some people who try to tell you that this is speaking of the rapture where it says, "Come up hither," in verse 12 of Revelation chapter 11. This is actually the two witnesses who are going to ascend up to heaven. So why did these two witnesses come? Why two witnesses? Well, according to the Scriptures, there must be two witnesses to act in order for the sentence of the law to be carried out. Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15 says, "One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established." And Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 17, "It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true."
Now, those who accept the mark of the beast during this tribulation period and worship him will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. Revelation 14:10 talks about that. And at least two witnesses to their sins will be necessary to convict and punish them. So I have no problem when I see and read in the Bible that there will be two witnesses. Now I would ask you, if you would, if you haven't already, turn with me to the book of Revelation in your Bible. Now Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4 says this, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Say, have you noticed how knowledge has increased during our day and time? There has been no other time that knowledge has increased so much, and people are running to and fro here and there on their little iPads, their tablets, and on the social media, and everything like that. So Daniel was told, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end shall many run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Well, the book is opened. And I believe as we look at the term apocalypse, this is the revelation. And if you look at Revelation, you'll see that it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now we look in chapter 5 of Revelation right now, and as you do this, please keep in mind that much of the book of Revelation is not written in chronological order. Chronological order is how events are presented or arranged in the order in which they will occur or have occurred one after another. Well, some people say, well, you just can't understand the book of Revelation. Maybe that's because they haven't read it. Maybe that's because they've never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. You know, the Bible teaches us that when we get saved, we'll understand the things of God. Now, I'm not saying we know everything in the book of Revelation. I'm saying that we know what we need to know. The book of Revelation is an open book. It's like the Bible, the other portions of the Bible that we read. We can know what God has for us in this book. Now, when we think of the Great Tribulation, we naturally think of all the bad things that will take place. Well, however, we do find some good, encouraging incidents along the way when studying about God's wrath being poured out on sinful man. Well, we've seen in our study so far that people do get saved during the tribulation period, and this is something that many people do not understand, and quite frankly, I don't understand everything once again as what's going to happen, but I don't need to know, because I'm not going to be here, and neither will you if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, as we study the book of Revelation, chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals." By the way, if you miss any of these studies, you can go to our website, lrwm.org, and you can look for current studies. Just click on current studies, and it'll bring up the studies that we're studying at this point, and you'll be able to look at the things that we've looked at, and actually some of the things that we'll be studying in the future. But current studies will be there. And that current study right now is the Great Tribulation. Well, chapter 5 of Revelation, we read of a book, or as was written on in the days of John, a scroll. In other words, it was a scroll. And this book or scroll was written on both sides, and it was sealed with seven seals. Revelation chapter 5, verse 2 through 4. "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book, and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much," John says this, "because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." Now, we can see the importance of the book, and it can be noticed when we realize that no man was capable or worthy to open, to read, or to even look within the book. And John wept because there was no one found worthy to open the book, so he thought. Now, I said that there are some good things that come into the tribulation. This is one of the good things that we need to look at here, verses 5 and 6 of Revelation 5. "And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Good news! An elder tells John not to weep because someone had removed the seals and had opened the book. Well, the one John saw who was worthy to open the book was the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, a lamb as it had been slain. And we know that by studying the Word of God that this is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. We look on in verse 7 of chapter 5 of Revelation, it came, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Now, of course, the worthy one took the book from the right hand of the one who sat upon the throne, and the one, of course, who sits on the throne of heaven is God the Father, according to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22. Now, in Revelation chapter 5, verses 8 through 14, we read this. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. May I say that that should be our prayer today as saved people, as these creatures. Every creature, it says, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. We should offer our blessings. We should offer glory to God every day of our lives. We should be praying as these prayed. God, you are to receive the honor, the glory, and may your power be seen throughout all the universe, throughout everything that is ever done in this world and throughout all eternity. We need to pray that prayer, and we need to mean it in our hearts. And the only way that we can do that is to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Have you trusted Him today? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you realize you're a sinner, if you realize that there's no way that you're going to go to heaven at this point, then you are at the point in your life where you can be saved, where you can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Lord, come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior. I know I can't save myself. And if you'll ask Him, He'll save you. If you'll mean it in your heart, Lord, I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. I believe you. I believe your word. Come into my heart and save me today. Now, next time we're going to pick up where we've left off, and we're going to look at the seven seals that's mentioned here in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, and so forth.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.